that threshold, man. How are y'all doing tonight? How many of you are here? How many of you sense your body here, but you don't feel here? Got some honest people. I get ya. Thursday evening, you guys have been going hard all week. So we're going to try to keep you awake tonight and see how we can do that. So take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra this evening. Ezra in chapter number 7. Ezra chapter number 7. We've been looking at in the evening time, in our evening rallies together, the need for stronghold razors. And by that word razors, we're not talking about building things up. We're talking about R-A-Z-E, tearing strongholds down, destroying strongholds. Now, why should we be concerned about destroying these strongholds that we've been looking at over the past few nights? Because there is a devil, because Satan utilizes these strongholds to blind people from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the last three nights, a man by the name of Jehoiada, that is correct. In the first evening, we looked at something of Jehoiada to raise down really the stronghold of Satanism and said that we need the what of Jehoiada to break the odds to raise the stronghold of Satanism. What was that? Do you, anybody remember?
Faith?
Faith is correct. You get a smiley face. Green team, right? Yes. Yeah, I thought that was it in my head. So, smiley face for green team. If I could give you points, I would give you points. But good job. Yes, we need the faith of Jehoiada to break the odds to raise down the stronghold of Satanism. The next evening, we looked at something in Jehoiada that was needed to break the mold, and we need it in our lives today as well to raise down the stronghold of humanism. What did Jehoiada have to break the mold? Any takers over here? Courage, that is correct. Good job to the blue team. Red team, we'll come over to you for this one. Last evening then, we looked at Jehoiada and considered there was something inside of Jehoiada needed to take down the stronghold. And as we look at it today in our time, we notice that we need this to take down the stronghold of communism. Any takers? Yes, sir.
Vision.
You all three teams got right. Very good. So we need the faith of Jehoiada to break the odds. We need the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold. And we need a vision of Jehoiada to break down the stronghold. This is what each one of us needs if we are going to be effective stronghold raisers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why again are we doing this? Because we want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we turn the pages, we turn quite a few centuries as well, and come into the life of a man by the name of Ezra. Ezra. So Jehoiada on a timeline, remember we talked about there were the divided nations of Israel, and so Jehoiada lived during that time frame in the time known as where the northern kingdom of Israel was up here, the southern kingdom of Judah was down here. And Israel was divided at that time. Ezra doesn't live in that time. In fact, Jehoiada has passed off the scene. The northern kingdom of Israel has been taken captive by Assyria in 721 BC. The southern kingdom of Judah has been taken captive by the Babylonian Empire in 586 BC. And Israel is in captivity for 70 years. Once 70 years is done, God brings them back into the land. And there are those that come back in the land, Zerubbabel and those that other remnant of the nation of Israel. A time, though, passes after that first return of Zerubbabel of about 60 years when Ezra brings in a remnant of the nation of Israel back into the land of Israel. So they're in captivity. They're still in captivity, but now they're allowed to go back into the land of Israel again. So it's quite a few years since Jehoiada, now to the time of Ezra. But I believe as we look at Ezra, it's important for us to consider him because he, like Jehoiada, was this priest. Ezra was the scribe, and he was a man that was willing to be used of God. Ezra chapter 7, it says in verse number 1, now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, and it goes to the son of all who he was, tracing him back to Aaron, verse 6, went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and of the Levites, and of the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and commandments. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the priests, people of Israel, and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever, as for the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done diligently for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of the house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of God, and teach ye them that know them not. Thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, which is in thine hand. And look at verse number 10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach Israel, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. This evening, as we look at what was, I believe, inside of Ezra, and what was out there in the culture, out there where they were captive, even in Persia, they were now living, if you will, peaceably there. Ezra looked to the land, he looked to the people, his people that were scattered throughout the land, and saw a need for them to come back to the nation of Israel, for them to be a returned remnant to come back and to do the work of the Lord back in Israel. But what Ezra was up against was people's, if you will, comfortability. There was no command for them to come back. Artaxerxes said, anybody who wants to can go with you, Ezra. I believe there was inside of Ezra a wisdom of God that Ezra had to wage war, if you will, to wage war on the stronghold of materialism. And even now, even in our society and in our culture today, we need to have the same wisdom of Ezra Ezra's wisdom was not from below. Ezra's wisdom was from above, because Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. We as well, my friends, need to have the wisdom of Ezra to battle the stronghold of materialism, if you will. We have everything today in our society and our culture at our fingertips. You want food? Go to fast food and you have it in 5 minutes. You want to order something? All you have to do now is go on your phone or go on your computer and click, click buy off of Amazon, and you got what you wanted. We have everything right now. Yeah, I believe we're a culture, we're a society infatuated with things, infatuated with material things, so much so that we're not living for God. We're so enamored in this material thing that we're pursuing them and not pursuing after God. What do we need? We need the wisdom of Ezra to break down the stronghold of materialism, to show to society today, to show to a culture today, that you can gain the whole world, you can have everything in society, you can have everything, you can own everything, you can have a great house, you can have a great car, you can have all these things, but what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I believe this is what we're up against even in our day and age today, my friends, is we're up against a society that is drowning in the stronghold of materialism. I've got to have, I got to have, I got to have, I got to have. This will satisfy me, this will satisfy me, this will satisfy me. But the reality is, the only thing that can truly satisfy is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that can truly satisfy is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can look everywhere in the world you want. You can buy all the things you want. You won't find satisfaction. Take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes and you'll find a man who tried to find fulfillment in everything in this world, and he concluded all is vanity. And he concluded that we need to fear God. My friend, if you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's easy in our day and age in which we live very comfortable lives. We are very blessed in that respect. But it's easy for us to get sidetracked and to get into living for ourselves and not for God. We need the wisdom of Ezra to break down the stronghold, and we're going to dive into that tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into your word, you'd give us hearts to receive what you'd have for us tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that our minds will be focused. Lord, I pray that each one of us here tonight would allow your word to do a work freely in us, and that we would be changed by your word. We would be changed for your honor and for your glory. Help me to say only what you'd want me to say, nothing more or nothing less, hiding behind your cross, Lord, so that your word can come forth freely. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I believe our prayer should be, God, give us a generation with the wisdom of Ezra to break the strongholds of materialism. Now, for materialism, if you will, for Ezra, for his nation, for the captive people there now abiding in the land of Persia, materialism then offered the luxury and the comfort to abide in Persia, where they were comfortable living, where they had everything. They had need of nothing, over against returning to Jerusalem, where if you return to Jerusalem, there was going to probably be conflict that would rear up amongst the enemies. You take the time to look through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one that even came up into the land of Israel with the returned remnant, and the realization is there were people that hated the nation of Israel. Always have been. Always will be. Because they are the chosen people of God. And so for some of these people to come up with Ezra out of the land of Persia and to go back over into Israel, go back over into Jerusalem, Their choice is, do I leave my life here of comfort in luxury and go over there to where there's going to be conflict, to where things aren't probably going to be as good? I know that's the land where we are to be, but this is could be a real turmoil inside each one of them. Because again, Artaxerxes' invitation is not a command. He's not telling those that you have to come up with Ezra or else. Anybody that is minded can go up with Ezra. That puts the onus on the people that would come with Ezra or the people that would not come. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go with Ezra or are you going to stay? Are you going to dwell here where comforts and luxuries are? Or are you going to go and help out your nation? Are you going to go and live for the glory of God? Now, when we relate it to ourselves, my friends, we can't be fooled. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You either hate the one or you will love the other. You can hold to the one, you'll despise the other. And Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. Sometimes we think, well, I'll do both. I'll live for God and I'll live for myself. You eventually, you're straddling the fence and it ain't going to work. You can't serve two masters. In Corinthians, it says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? In Galatians, it said that you cannot walk in the flesh and walk in the spirit at the same time because these two are contrary one to another. You've got to fix in your mind what you are going to do. As we consider our life today, we can truly have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when we are about God's plan, not the end prospects of materialism, where I'm going to live for myself, I'm going to follow my own plan, no, rather we ought to live for God. So again, so we need to have the wisdom of Ezra to break the strongholds, particularly raising that of materialism. Charlie Kirk once said, if you live your life by what feels good, you'll end up miserable, but if you live your life by doing good, you will end up purposeful. My friend, if you live your life doing good for the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him, you will have purpose in life. But if you go about throughout your whole life doing by what feels good and what makes you feel good, you're going to end up a miserable person. And you're going to end up a captive, if you will, of the stronghold of materialism, where you think that all I need to get is a little bit more, then I'll be happy. Yeah, doesn't work that way. Because once we get that little bit more, then we have the same thought process again. But we need to have the correct wisdom to engage and bring about the demise of the stronghold of materialism. So how can we have, if you will, we could ask ourselves this question, how could we have a wisdom beyond our years? How could we have a wisdom that's found in God alone? Three simple truths. Number one, if we're going to have the wisdom of Ezra to break the stronghold of materialism, this is what we need to have. We need to have, a wisdom found in God's Word. We need to have a wisdom found in God's Word. Look with me at verse number 10 in Ezra chapter 7. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. What do you notice that Ezra is doing here? Ezra's taking the time himself personally to seek God. My friends, you will be a captive of materialism unless you actively get into God's Word to learn it, to do it, and to teach it. Allow it to transform you. Allow you to practice it, but then also not hold it within yourself, but teach it to those around you. Share what God has been doing in your life. Wisdom, God's wisdom, taught Ezra to know what was important. It was not his comfort, but rather the welfare of his nation and the glorification of God. He desired God to do something great in his people, and he saw that God was using him to bring a remnant back into the land of Israel. And God was going to work through a pagan king to do what he would do. But it didn't start with the king coming to Ezra. It says in verse number 6 that Ezra went up from Babylon. But it gets to us in verse number 10 when it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Now, he didn't just one day decide that we're going to go. We're going to go over into back in the land of Israel. Artaxerxes, here's what's up. I need some stuff. Okay, Artaxerxes would be like, and who are you telling me this right now? That's not how it happened, my friends. Ezra first, watch in verse 10, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Interesting. He's seeking God for what purpose? He says, God, I'm seeking you in order to determine whether I want to follow you or not with my life. Nope, not what the Bible says here. God, I'm seeking you with my whole heart to do it, to obey you. That's the purpose of Ezra seeking God. And what's going to happen for Ezra here in Ezra chapter 7 is really an outplaying of a principle in Matthew 6:33 that we can glean for each one of our own lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ezra seeks God first. He prepares his heart to seek the Lord. He has a wisdom that is founded in God's word. And the story unfolds. Artaxerxes commissions Ezra to go up. Artaxerxes says, you can have basically whatever you want in order to go up. Artaxerxes tells people that they're coming through. You're not going to impose taxes. You're not going to impose tolls upon them. And he says, Ezra, when you get into the land, you're going to set up magistrates and judges, and you're going to teach them the law of the Lord. To them that know it, and to them that don't know it. Ezra, I'm putting you in a position, if you will, almost of government here, that you're going to show people the ways of the Lord. And this is what Ezra is commissioned with, but it didn't start with Ezra's bright ideas of just coming up to Artaxerxes. It started with, verse 10, he began to seek the Lord. My friends, if we are going to get anywhere in our lives, it needs to start with seeking God. A wisdom found in God's word. You're thinking, I've got wisdom. That's good. That's nice. What type of wisdom are we talking about? Because the Bible gives us two different types of wisdom, one that's from above, and one that's from below, one that's from this earth. We need to make sure that we find our wisdom to be found in God's word alone. And this came from Ezra through a personal pursuit of God. He prepared his heart. And the question is, my friends, are we seeking God? Are you seeking him? Proverbs 8:17, the Bible says, those that seek me early shall find me. My friends, you're seeking him. Are you obeying God? Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So I don't, Samuel saying to Saul, God doesn't care about your sacrifices, Saul. God told you to slay all the animals, and you didn't do that when you went up against the enemy. Saul said, well, these are for a sacrifice, Samuel. They're for the Lord. And Samuel said, Saul, it would just be better if you obey. You ever been told anything at home by mom or dad? Do this. A classic example I'm sure we all had growing up is go clean your room. Instead of go clean our room, we go and we write a card. Just how much we love you, mom and dad. How much you mean the world to me, mom and dad. And mom says, all right, time's up. Did you clean your room? It's a bomb in here, Mom. But I wrote you this card. And Mom looks at you and says, but I asked you to clean. I told you to go clean your room. Which is Mom going to want more? A clean room or a card with a dirty room? Doesn't really vibe right here. Doesn't really show that we love him when we're still being disobedient and not cleaning our room. This is what Samuel was saying to Saul when Saul disobeyed God. Samuel said, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. Ezra was willing to seek God. Ezra was willing to obey God. Ezra was willing to go obey God. The question comes to us, are we promoting God? We seek him, do we obey him, are we promoting him? Psalm 78, verse 4, Asaph, a contemporary of King David, has taken pen in hand to write the historical accounts of old of the nation of Israel and show to them God's hand in their nation's history. And he makes this declaration in verse number 4, we will not hide them, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. We know what God's done. We're grateful for what God's done. But guess what? It's not going to stop right here. I'm going to tell others about what God has done. I'm going to tell the next generation about what God has done. My friends, we cannot be engaged about raising a stronghold of materialism on a national level until we learn to do it on a personal level. And that's what God's wisdom teaches us. We need to pursue God, a wisdom found in God's word. And through a personal pursuit of God, we can foster a widespread uplifting of the people around us. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 13. I make a decree, Artaxerxes, to Ezra the priest, that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. I'm not going to force any of you, Artaxerxes saying, but you all are welcome to go up with Ezra if you want to. As here was Ezra, he's a man that's found wisdom in God's word. He's a man that's prepared his heart unto the Lord, that though it may be, though he might have comfort there in the land of Persia, in their land of their captivity, it might be easier living there. He decides that I'm going to be used of God to go up into the land of Israel, back to the land of Israel, and bring our people back to God. The welfare, if you will, of the nation for Ezra brought about the glorification of God because it points the individual back to the wisdom in God's word. All they which are minded. Ezra's life showed his fellow captives in Persia that life is bigger than me. See, the message that would be communicated to his countrymen was, your nation lay waste, but are you just content with the newest fashions? Are you content with your comfortable living here in your present captivity here in Persia? And what a parallel example that is for each one of us. Are we content? Are we concerned about bringing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we concerned about bringing a land back to God? Or are we content in our own present form of captivity where we are just bound by the stronghold of materialism because we're living for self and not living for God? Life is bigger than us, my friends. Life is bigger than you. Wisdom as found in God's word teaches you that. That life is it's not about you. It's about you getting right with the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, but then reaching those around you with the Lord Jesus Christ. What would keep you from doing that? Being a victim, being a captive, if you will, of the stronghold of materialism. Live a life, then, that inspires others to live for God. Lord, raise up a generation. Raise up a generation that would come and that would topple the stronghold of materialism. That recognizes our problem in our land today is not an economical problem. Our problem in our land today is not an educational problem. Our problem in our land today is not a sociological problem. Our problem in our land today, rather, is a spiritual problem. And we are trying to satisfy ourselves with everything that is physical We're engulfed in materialism and we're missing out on the spiritual. We're missing out on having a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because we want to live for ourselves. My friends, what do we need? We need a wisdom found in God's Word. Number one, a wisdom found in God's Word. John 12:24. We looked at this last night. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It starts with us and goes to others. Ezra recognized that if he was going to change his people for the glory of the Lord, then it needed to begin with him dying to his own ambitions and seeking the Lord. What did Ezra do in verse number 10? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. My friends, may we prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord, to seek the word of God, to do it, and to teach in our country God's statutes and God's judgments. But people won't like it. People get mad at me. I'll have a lot of friction, Daniel. My friends, that's what Ezra was up against. But rather than just enjoying the comforts of luxury, or rather just enjoying where he was, he said, "No, God, I'm going to be use of you." So he had this wisdom found in God's word, which led to truth number two, a wisdom trusting in God's plan. Number one, Ezra had a wisdom found in God's word. Number two, Ezra had a wisdom trusting in God's plan. A wisdom trusting in God's plan. Look at verse number 6, chapter 7. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was already scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. There was a wisdom trusting in God's plan. It's the king that God is using here, a pagan king, to grant him all his requests, but it says these words, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. God's hand was upon him because he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord God of his father. And what was God's plan? What was God's plan for the people of Israel? He wanted them back in the land. God wanted Israel back in the land. And Ezra recognized that he could trust God to work through the king. He went to the king for this request, and the king grants him his entire request. He recognized that God can work through a king. There's an action, if you will, on Ezra's part, just as there should be action on our part. We say, all right, I'm preparing my heart to seek the Lord. I'm preparing to do what God has said. Now what? This is what Ezra does. Ezra goes and requests the king. I want to go back up into the land of Israel. Could you grant me this request? There's feet. There's action to what Ezra is doing. There, my friends, needs to be action about what we are doing as we go forth in this life trusting God's plan. Let me ask you simply, what's God's plan? God's plan is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is to have a people come back to God. God makes that very evident in Jeremiah 18:7-9, when he gives an invitation to any nation who is going their own way, that they repent of the evil. God will also repent of the evil that he's designed to do against them. Classic example, city of Nineveh, 40 days, they'd be overthrown, and they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and God spared the city of Nineveh. So we recognize God's plan, that God is a God of mercy and of long suffering. And God loves us. God is a God of justice. God is a holy God. But he wants to use our lives to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Correct? That's God's plan. So we can have a wisdom found in God's word. But then secondly, a wisdom trusting in God's plan. The promise today, the realization today is seen in Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God wants you to take part in seeing this nation make the Lord its God. Materialism will tell you, well, just enjoy what you have. Don't be a stick in the mud. Don't go out there and try to change people. Just enjoy what you have. But God's wisdom and plan says maintain, but restore what you have. Bring this land back to what it once was, a land that had been built upon the Judeo-Christian heritage, upon the principles of the Word of God. But it starts right here as we find wisdom in God's Word. Then we have wisdom to trust in God's plan. We will go about living for God and not for self. Materialism will tell you, my friends, to trust in what you can see and touch. But God's wisdom tells you to trust in God's plan, though it may be unseen. You might not see God's plan, but trust in it, my friends. Trust in it. And God wants Israel back in the land. And Ezra realized that he could trust God to protect them in the journey. He could trust God to protect them in the journey. Down in chapter number 8, as Ezra went up into the land, it said that in verse number 21, they proclaimed a fast that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. For I was ashamed, there was some conflict that had come up, so Ezra seeking the Lord. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Quick recap here, they're coming up in the land, they faced friction. And Ezra lays it out to the Lord because he told Artaxerxes must have offered him a bunch of men to go up with him, soldiers and that. And Ezra said, no, it's okay. God's hand will be upon us. So when they faced friction in the way, they didn't run away, but rather they looked to God. They turned to God, recognizing that they needed to trust God. Ezra showed this wisdom that he had that trusted in God's plan, a wisdom that trusted in God's plan. My friends, where God has called you, make sure you're in the place where God has called you. There is no safer place to be than the will of God. There is no safer place to be than the will of God. Ezra had a wisdom trusting in God's plan. He had a wisdom found in God's word. He had a wisdom trusting in God's plan. Thirdly, finally, he had a wisdom obedient to God's call. He had a wisdom obedient to God's call. Verse number 21, and I, even I, urge Xerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law, the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Listen to Ezra. I've given him charge over you. Verse 23, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done diligently, done for the house of the God of heaven. And then down in verse 25, and thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hands, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. The king has basically commissioned Ezra into this position of leadership, into this position of government, that he has authority. But it all started with Ezra just seeking the Lord. My friends, when you seek the Lord, God can do great things with your life. He found a wisdom found in God's word. He had a wisdom trusting in God's plan. And then he had a wisdom that would be obedient to God's call. A wisdom that would be obedient to God's call. This for Ezra, God placed him into this governmental position. Notice here who God wants in government. Those who can lead after the wisdom of God, verse 25, that is in thine hand. God worked through Artaxerxes to get Ezra into this position because of what was already evident of Ezra. For he was an able man, one that feared God, a man of truth, hating covetousness. This is Exodus 18:21, when God was telling Moses, these are the type of men that you need to place in positions of leadership, in place of government over you. Men that love God. Men that love God. Evil men such as fear God. Men of truth, hating covetousness. Ezra was this type of individual. Why? Because of his personality? Just because of his ability? No. Because he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. And look what is happening with the life of Ezra. How it's elevating here right now. As a scribe of God, as this priest, he's coming into this position, commissioned by this pagan king Artaxerxes, to have authority to teach the law of God in the land where he is returning to. He who has the wisdom, the one who will have the wisdom to be obedient to God's call, is already trusting in the plan of God because he has found his purpose in the Word of God. My friend, Ezra was willing to be obedient to God's call because he had the wisdom to be obedient to God's call because he was already trusting what? In the plan of God, because he had found wisdom in the Word of God. You see, everything is funneling from where Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. But damn, that's so basic. Give me something that I can really go with out into this world and be a difference maker. Exactly right here. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord, to do it, and to teach those around you. Ezra did that. He had a wisdom found in God's word. He had a wisdom that trusted in God's plan. And then he had a wisdom that was obedient to God's call. And God would use him to call upon the lives of those of his nation there inside of Persia as they were there in captivity to call upon them to say, are you going to still remain here in Persia, captive really to the stronghold of materialism where you have everything? Or are you going to come with me and see God do great things in our land for the glory of God and do a work through his people? And this all came from one person. All it takes is one person to be used of God. To say, enough with what this world has to offer, enough with this materialism of this society, of this culture today, I'm not going to be a captive of that. I'm not going to pursue all of that with my life. Instead, I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. I'm going to seek to lead others to the Lord, and I'm going to seek to rescue those from the stronghold of materialism and get them into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are not saved. And those who are saved, get them off the sidelines and help them live their lives effectively for the Lord Jesus Christ. What God could do to one life wholly surrendered to him. My friends, this was Ezra. We often look at the end story and say, well, I could never be an Ezra. Hold on for a second. Where was Ezra? He wasn't in Israel. They were still in the land of captivity, if you will. And I'm pretty sure we still live in a free land today. Absolutely sure of that, actually. And the realization is, if Ezra could do it, then why can't we do it? Ezra had the wisdom to be obedient to God's call. Because of Ezra's obedience, there would be Israelites in captivity who would be able to be freed from the stronghold of materialism, whilst yes, others stayed back in their chains. As we consider our lives today, we consider those who have gone on before us to be obedient to God's call. God's call for each one of us is different for each one of us. Whether he's called you to go to a certain place or another place, the reality is, are you willing to be obedient to God's call? Do you have the wisdom to be obedient to God's call? It's found in his word. This gives Ezra a weighty responsibility. Artaxerxes says, teach ye them. Teach ye them. In verse number 5, the laws of thy God. Even them that know not. Teach ye them the laws of our God. There ought in our lives never to be a separation of the Word of God in our life from the public affairs out in our society and our culture today. And the recognition, as we've mentioned the previous night, even the previous night before that, but our nation is unsustainable without God's Word. It is unsustainable without God's Word. We need the people of God influencing our society and culture today. And my friends, you are the up-and-coming generation. You will be the leaders in the years to come in our land today. And Ezra will teach here in this account, as Ezra has placed himself under the Word of God. Oh, that God would give us a generation to have the wisdom to be obedient to God's call on our lives, the effect that we would rise up and destroy the stronghold of materialism abounding in our land today. We need to rise up, my friends. We need to be stronghold raisers. We need to raise the stronghold of materialism. But how do we do it? It comes from a wisdom to break the stronghold. That wisdom can only be found in God's Word, as it trusts in God's plan, and then as it's obedient to God's calling. So my friends, I would close this with this question. Where is the wisdom of Ezra in this generation? And are you willing to have it? Are you willing to do what it takes to be an Ezra? To be a raiser, a stronghold raiser of the stronghold of materialism. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts. Lord, that we would make the commitment. Lord, help me to be an Ezra. Lord, help me to not be a captive of materialism. All the things that this world has to offer, where I forget about living for you and I live for myself. Lord, would you help me to be an Ezra? Lord, work in each one of our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to prepare our heart to seek the Lord, to do what you have for us, and to teach others also. I pray for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.